early morning, Roxy Soxy.
And good late Los Angeles afternoon slash early evening, Tam Tam.
Luscious Los Angeles.
Luscious.
Laughy. Luscious. Luscious. Yeah. Is it hot there right now?
It's finally summertime here. So yes, it's hot. But it was actually hotter in the place I just was, and also sticky and humid and like, you know, kind of get like more of that summer vibe, I would say. But it is getting warmer here in Los Angeles.
Well, I've been hobnobbing with monkeys. I've been hobnobbing with elephants. I have pooped my pants out with Bali Belly. I have, what else has happened? Oh my goodness. I have to tell you the story, and then you tell your story, and then we're going to introduce our next guest. So the villa that we're in is amazing, right? It's so great. We're splitting it between couples. I'm here for my birthday. And it's been going pretty well until it wasn't yesterday. So my husband likes to do the washing and the drying of our clothes, which is great. Or girls, if you're listening, find someone who does all your clothes washing, although it always comes back like a little, it feels always a little off and it's always a little small, but it's okay. It's at least he's doing.
Or it has like a tinge of pink or something. It's like a different color.
Yeah, they're all like a hue of blue, but as you know what, at least I'm not having to do it. So he like came up in like a flurry yesterday and he's like, our clothes are gone. I was like, what do you mean our clothes are gone? He's like, someone from the villa, because the villa has a staff, which is like very normal, typical for in Bali. When you hire a villa, they have someone who like cooks and someone who cleans and there's a nanny. It's like pretty awesome for people who like just want like a bit of a break. One of the staff took the dryer without clothes in it.
Oh, and they never returned it?
It's like in maintenance somewhere and they don't know where it is.
So do you have like more clothes to wear or do you have to go shopping?
Here's the thing. It's not really my clothes because Sean knows that I would be really mad if he was putting my clothes in the dryer because he put female clothes. Like he once put my silks in the dryer. Like no joke. Mm-mm. So he knows that he does. So it's all the kids' clothes and his clothes. So they have nothing to wear. And if I wasn't in Bali mood, I'd be so pissed off about it. I'd just be like, how is this happening? I need to write a complaint. But I'm just so chill right now. I'm like pooping my brains out and I feel like I've gone on a cleanse. I feel like I feel great, really. You know, this Bali belly is not, everyone didn't tell me how great you feel afterwards.
Well, maybe
you
pooped out all of your stress and anxiety. You know?
I know. I was like, that was up there at least for 2 months. You know what I mean? Like, it's been great. It's really been great. How about you?
Oh, Tam Tam. Well, you know, what started out as like a very emotional but also wonderful trip quickly soured because we went to, unfortunately, my father-in-law passed away. So we went to the East Coast to Cape Cod for his funeral. And had a lovely time with family, you know, got to visit with everyone. He had a beautiful service. And then the last few days of the trip the rest of the week, we decided to go to Nantucket because some friends were there. So we thought it'd be a nice way to kind of end the trip, you know, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful. Cut to the day we're leaving. We leave, you know, we had to wake up at the butt crack to get on the ferry to go from to Nantucket to the mainland.
And why do we always book the butt crack, by the way? Like, why do we always book the butt crack?
Always.
I book mine at 5 a.m. I was at the airport at 2:30. It's like, what the fuck? Like, why do I choose that?
Yeah, we put it on ourselves. Yeah, in some ways, you know, for sure. So we get to we get from Nantucket on the boat to Cape Cod, drive the almost 3 hours because there was so much traffic to the Boston airport. Mm. We get to the airport, we check in, we had like a lovely kind of, we went to the lounge and had, you know, a little wine and relaxed and like did everything. We get on the flights and we start flying. We're about 2 hours out and the pilot comes on and says, I've got bad news. Pause. I'm like, oh my God, what?
He goes, the plane going down. I was like, you're already putting on your life jacket.
Yes. I'm like, never start with that phrase when you're
we have bad news. A plane. Exactly. It's like when they're cutting. Yeah. It's like cutting you open. Yes. Like, we have bad news. It's like, bad timing.
Not a good thing. So he goes, we're going to have to turn the plane around to go back to Boston because the weather tracking system on the plane isn't working. And by the way, this was something we knew at departure. And I was like, oh, really? You can't just ground it at the nearest airport wherever we are, you know, like,
right.
So at least we've gone that far to not have to go back, you know? But no, right. We turned around, flew right back to Boston, and then we were told to get our bags off at a certain carousel. We went down there, bags weren't there. We went to the baggage agent, who was less than pleasant, in fact, quite rude. Another passenger was like in tears because she couldn't get her bag. It was just a lot of drama. And then we got to the hotel, had to spend the night, had to pay for our dog sitter, of course, like extra days. And finally was able to get on a plane the following night at like 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. So we were so late getting in here. We got here at 2 a.m. I haven't even got to tell you this, though. But our ride share, so we had a ride share take us to the airport from our hotel in Boston. We got sideswiped by an 18-wheeler on the way to the airport.
What? Your energy is off, man. No, like, I would not be booking nothing this week. Like, don't make new friends. Yeah. Don't do anything. Yeah, don't leave your house.
What? I am literally what is happening? So then the rideshare driver proceeds to try to chase the 18-wheeler down whilst we're in a tunnel. In the tunnel.
It's like that movie situation. Yes. No.
Yes.
And you never do that in America. No. Like in Bali, they're so lovely. Like all the doors we leave open is like not an issue, but you never do that in America.
No, you don't know who has a gun or like who can be crazy, you know, like, so he's trying to like get the, I mean, it was such a harrowing scene. We finally got to the airport. Finally.
And I got a bag of peanuts. Like a bag of peanuts.
A bag of damn peanuts.
For all my drama.
They stuck us on the last row of the airplane, which the seats recline. Don't recline.
Yeah.
And it was turbulent the entire flight, up and down sideways. Up and down sideways. So we finally made it. And we got here at 2 a.m. And I was just like, oh my gosh, at least I tried to look on the silver, you know, at the silver lining.
Like,
and
at least I'm here. Yeah.
At least I'm here. At least I'm finally home. Yeah. But wow. And if you want to know what airline it was, you have to go to my Instagram at Red Carpet Roxy. Yeah.
I'm like, don't call them out. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. We have so much. I have another even story that I'm not going to keep talking because I really want to talk to our next guest, but I found a hair in my food and I'm going to ask her what she would do if she found a long hair in her food, because it was the same kind of story. It just went from one bad to worse. Like, I was like, what is happening? But Roxy, I love this girl. I've actually been following her like silently for a little bit. I don't know if it's silently, but like, you know, like where you're like, oh, I'm such a fan. But like, you know, she also makes me feel bad about my content because her content is so good.
So good.
So I should be following her. You know, this
her assets
like,
are like,
feel good about myself.
Like, chef's kiss.
Oh, she's just effortlessly cool. It's like, oh, I put this on. I'm like, I look like a garbage bag. And she's like, I just put on this shirt and it looks so great. And I'm like, why does mine not look so good? Like, why is this? And then she's like this mom, and she's like, I know that she's obviously going through it too as a new mom, but like, she looks like she's got her shit together. I did not have my shit together. I was like, they're like, I think you need to go on antidepressants, Tamin, like, cause you're a mess. Like, you can't get it together. And she's producing content while she has a new kid. I didn't even know which way was up. I was putting my phone in the fridge. I swear. Oh, yeah. Like, and I was inviting people to the wrong address. Like, I was like, I left my car running when I was going to yoga for like 2 hours. So yes, she's got her everything together, so we need to talk about it because I want to know how. I want to know who's helping her because I don't understand it. So Roxy, who do we have?
Well, we are so excited to welcome, as you said, a new mom. She's an amazing digital content creator. Her assets are like chef's kiss. I've got like asset envy.
I know.
She's moved into a new house recently, so she's been documenting that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of great stuff that she puts out. So it's really exciting.
She's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, she's been doing it for a really long time. So it's really exciting to welcome. And by the way, I also love her name. It's so cute. Lucy Fee.
It is so
cute. You two are just so fun. I'm sitting here listening to your chats. I have a lot of input about the hair and the food, the planes. But seriously, just thank you guys for coming on. And just for the guests, I just want to say I stood these girls up by accident. What was it last week? We were supposed to record this podcast last week, and as you can see, I do not have my shit together, and I missed the recording.
You were so nice in your response that we couldn't be mad. You know what I mean? Like, my advice to people is like, go over the top with like how sorry you are, because then like then the person's an asshole if they're like, no, I still don't like her.
Yes, and have like a really good excuse. Like, you had a good excuse, you know, so it made sense.
Did I? I felt like, oh my gosh, my excuse is just that my shit is not together right now, and that I did not set an alarm to remind myself of the podcast.
Good enough.
You know what? We had a single podcast, Roxy and I. We did not know what we were talking about. We ended up talking about aliens and we didn't know where that was going. So we apologize to everyone who listened to the podcast before this one.
But sometimes, Tam Tam, I feel like we just go off the cuff like that. Some of those are our best ones because it's like we're just spur of the moment, you know?
And by the way, I love it when you call me Tam Tam. It makes me a warm fuzzy inside. So please continue. Tam-tam. Lucy. Okay. I want to ask you a story. I want to ask both of you this story. Okay. And what you would do in the moment.
Okay.
So I was at a restaurant and we waited for the food. It was in Australia. I'm not going to call the restaurant out because I don't want them to lose business because of me, but you should never go to this restaurant. It's on the corner of, no, it's not. I'm not going to say the name, but I'm going to tell you exactly the location. I'm going to pin drop it. But it's this restaurant. We waited for an hour to get our food. We're really hangry by the time we have two kids, Lucy. So one's four. You're in the sort of the hell of like just keeping your kids safe. But when they get older, they have opinions and like they're just exhausting people. And I love my kids. One's nine, one's four. But like, oh my goodness. So they're whinging about their food. So the food comes finally. And when I get my food, there is a hair, a black hair. You can tell that I don't have black hair. Honestly, the size of as long as my hair, just a black hair, right intertwined within the food.
Oh boy.
So we said to them, there's a hair in the food. Please take the food back. They took the food back. Then they came to me and said, no one in our kitchen has a black hair. And then looked at me like I put the hair.
You planted it
in the, I was the hair planter. So would you have just like dealt with it because you're a nice person, just ate the food with the hair? Would you have said something like what, like in a situation like that, what do you do?
I absolutely would not have eaten the food with the hair. And I probably would have done the exact same thing that you did. And listen, if they came to me and said, nobody in our kitchen has a black hair, it's not intentionally like you are blaming somebody in their kitchen, but their food system somehow got the hair into your food. If it didn't get there in your head, then it must have gotten in there. Whether that means they bought, I don't know what you were eating. What were you eating? What was the hair in?
What are you eating? Are you going to judge my food choice?
No, I will not.
It was a piece of salmon.
Okay. So maybe someone from the fish market had a black hair and then they purchased the salmon with said hair already on it. In which case, as the restaurant, it is your responsibility to either rinse your food before you give it to your clients, right, or at least double check the plate visually before it goes out. And if I don't think, you know, I don't know how you worded it. I mean, I'm assuming that you were kind and that you just said, I won't take this. I will not have this shit. But I don't know. I guess there's a way to say, you know, I would have sent it back and said, I just need a new salmon. We don't need to talk about whose hair it is. I just need new salmon.
Yeah.
I think that my germophobia would have massively kicked in. Because you know me, Tam. You know, I get like cuckoo about that shit. I think I definitely would have sent it back. And I think I would have been a little offended, you know, because maybe there was like a bit of a communication, like, you know, gap.
They speak Australian. It's like, meaning they speak the same as American. Australians and Americans are pretty similar.
Oh, this was in Australia. Oh, I didn't know if it was in Bali or Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, it was in Australia.
But Balinese people would never, I know that's a blanketed statement, but they would never, it's always, they're so kind. They're so, because their religion is based in like karma, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of Hindus believe of what you give is what you receive. So it's so beautiful here. It's just the most incredible place to be. And yes, they would never have said, they would have just said, sorry, three more salmons.
So, okay.
As they would have done in America, I believe. I mean, I've never been to Australia. And so once again, not a blanket statement, but I think most restaurants would take it back.
You know what? I usually love every server that I have, every waiter, every waitress, but I have had some people with like attitude. Actually, a pretty famous one at a restaurant whose TV show we all watch. We went in there. This was years ago. And she was waiting on us. And she just did not believe that I have food allergies. She didn't believe that I had food allergies. And she was so put out with the fact that she had to go check on things. And she's like, well, can't you just have this or that? You know? So I do think, you know, I think maybe there was a little bit of attitude in that, Tamman, like what they were saying to you. But right. I don't know. I definitely think I would have sent it back and I would have been like, you know what? I'm paying for this. Like, I need a fresh one. Like, I need something that doesn't have hair in it.
Mm. Agree.
You know, right?
I agree. I also think that, you know, America's based in service. It's a service industry, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that service is really important. It's a tipping culture. A lot of these other cultures that and places that I've been to recently, they don't even put the tip. You know, I put an Instagram video up recently about people don't tip in Australia. Do they tip at a really restaurant 10% every now and then? Sure. But it's not even available to put on the bill. So like last night we had a dinner. It was like $200 between three couples. Mm-hmm. And you just pay it and walk out. There's no chance to, like, you know, pay any extra. Like, they don't even, we paid the driver an extra $7 and he almost freaked out. He just said, like, oh my gosh, no, you paid me too much. No, take your money back. We're like, no, please. You've been so wonderful. I think it's just a cultural thing. And I think that if you don't, if your culture is about making money from your service, then you're going to give better service, right?
Mm-hmm. I think some restaurants here in the US are like experimenting with salaried servers, which is interesting because then maybe it's not like it's so stressful for them, maybe, you know, with like trying to get tips and things like that. So it could be a good thing to maybe change.
Well, what did they say when you said, you know, what did you say actually when they said this is not from our kitchen? How did you respond?
Listen, I wasn't in the best friend of mine. I had two nagging children. I was hungry. I wanted that salmon. I can go both ways, Lucy. I can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And I was neither, but I was somewhere in the middle. I was just like, excuse me, how can you think that this is something that I would do? Because I felt like they were insinuating that.
Also, you have blonde hair. So that's proof right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's my underarm hair. It's really long.
You should have shown them what's downstairs.
I was like, my one pubic hair that's like really long, just one.
What about your children? What color hair do your children have?
Blonde. And then my other one has like very curly, you know, black hair. But
we could have been Lennon's hair?
It was Lennon the whole time.
But it's not long, is it?
No, it's not long. And it's very curly. It looks like ringlets. So it'd be like this little, it would more look like a pubic hair, than which would make me very upset about the situation, even more so.
I just have to say, I'm sorry about the hair and the food, because that's just disturbing. And I get grossed out when my own hair is in the food. So I can't imagine just finding a long black hair.
Oh, and did you eat it? You didn't eat
salmon.
You sent it
no,
back.
No, I got a new one.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm glad that we figured out what you guys would do, but I do want to know more about Lucy, about her life and figuring out like how we can become as successful, right, Roxy?
You're just killing the game. Nike. Yes.
You guys, I'm so honored. And honestly, it's very interesting for me to sit on the other side and hear how you are all perceiving my life, because, you know, I was just actually talking to a friend of my mom's who was telling me that she feels like watching my motherhood journey unfold feels effortless from her point of view. Mm-hmm. And I would not say that's how it feels from my standpoint. I feel as if, yes, I can say with conviction, I've been able to keep up my work and my business and actually like the creative spark of producing content and creating things and making videos has stayed around ever since having a baby. In fact, I actually think it has grown and it's become a part of my personality that I've just felt like I need to do because it feels so pressing to get that time to let my brain work in that other way. But my foray into motherhood, which we can get into, was actually a lot more challenging than I thought it was going to be. And my experience of being a mom, even to this day, I feel maybe not comparatively on social media, but I feel very much like my experience of motherhood seems a lot harder to me than the way I'm perceiving some of my friends or some other people in my sphere.
I feel like that's with everybody though, right? Don't you always feel like because we only really know our own journey. Like I remember looking at you know, I, you know what I mean? I feel like I remember looking around to my friends and be like, God, they just nailed this, you know, and mm-hmm. they've got it together. But it's also because we're not seeing their day to day, right? We're not seeing all the shit that goes on. It's like we're seeing the highlight reel, or, you know, we're not talking about it when we're together, like the way that I feel like even more now people are talking about it, like really getting into the nitty gritty and like the ugly bits, you know, the ugly parts. Yeah. Right. I think it makes a difference.
Yeah. I think I actually, my brand grew because I was on Pretty Little Liars. And, you know, I had all these followers based on Pretty Little Liars and a show I was on called, you know, Home and Away over here and yeah, Hannah Montana and all that. And so my followers were following me for acting. And then I was like, well, how can I be of value? Right. So, because at some point you have all these followers, but like, what do you do? I see some of the people that used to work on my show, and it's no disregard to what they're doing, but it's like pictures of them in selfies, and that's great. And but for me, I was like, how can I use this platform of like, I already had 1 million followers after that show, and some of the other people that I was on the show with have like 10 million. But how can I do this to, yes, of course, you know, the causes, talk about things that can, you know, help people who are marginalized or hurt, absolutely, but also in my small little world, how can I talk about the things that I struggle with, which is mental health, I always have, with motherhood, being anorexic and bulimic as a child, you know, being bullied, the sense of self-worth, like how can I use this platform to actually like help someone? And I think even though you might perceive other people perceive you to be like this perfect put together mom, like I think you're very honest in your journey, you know? And I think that anyone who judges you and how you put out your journey is because they're judging themselves, right? They don't
absolutely
like something that they do, but also there could be a part, and this is a question to you, that you don't want to show everything because it's kind of scary too. Like the messy parts for me are really hard for me to press post because I want to be perfect. Not that I think that anyone thinks I am, but I want to look like I'm the best at it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think for me, the hard part about sharing everything comes from the fact that a decent amount of what I would call my stress or my struggles in my day-to-day operations mm-hmm. revolve just around my family and the people that I'm closest with and my interpersonal relationships with people. And that's what I have a hard time putting on full blast. And those are the type of things that, you know, if I'm going through a particularly stressful time with my husband as we're like co-parenting and trying to figure out how to find time for ourselves as a couple while also being attentive to our baby. Or in this case, you know, this week in particular, kind of the biggest thing happening with me is that I'm living at my parents' house as our house is finishing renovations, and I'm finding it very difficult to live with my parents, with my baby.
Yes.
I'm just finding it. I mean, there's glowing, amazing times and they're being incredibly helpful with our house, but I'm reverting into my childhood self under their roof. This is my childhood house. I've only ever lived in one house with them and they're still in it. And so coming back here with my baby, there's all these triggers left and right. And I'm sharing it here on this podcast. I guess I assume that my parents aren't going to listen to this podcast, but I were to put it, you never know. When I'm currently in my dad's radio studio here, so he might want to see how I did in his studio and give it a listen. Hey mom, hey dad, you're doing great.
I love you. I swear.
Yeah.
And I obviously do, but that, you know, they know I've actually made it clear to them that it's hard for me to parent with my parents. And that's just something I have, if I were really going to open up about everything and share every dirty detail with everyone, I would be kind of giving personal details about other people in my life a little bit more than I think they'd be comfortable with.
You know, and I think too, it's not necessarily just with our jobs, you know, because I know some of the audience expects us to share everything, right? It's like, well, you're putting yourself out there. So it's got to be, you know, you can't hold anything close to the heart. And I actually disagree with that. I think you can pick what, I mean, overarching, sure, we do share a lot of our lives, but if there are things that you don't feel comfortable with sharing, I don't think there's anything wrong with not sharing them, because it's also your journey. It's not, you know, everybody else's, it's also your journey. And I know for me, there are some things that, you know, occurrences in my life and things like that, that I've never shared on social media. I mean, some, you know, very few people know about some certain things, you know, and it's because I've chosen that, you know, and I do think it's my right to be able to keep things close to the chest, even though we're in this public arena and we are public people. And, you know, there is a lot that people know about us. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Do you think it's fair to be able to hold things close too?
I do, absolutely. But I, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to. I think it's self-preservation. I think where it gets messy is when you're living, I'm just saying this example because you brought it up, because I too have decided that I will never say, I stayed with my parents in Sydney, my mom and dad, this last time. And it almost ruined our relationship. It was so hard because they're trying to sell the house. We have two kids. My kids are messy. They're trying to get their floorboards done. It was a disaster to the point where like we just hid in one room and just didn't come out. And it was, and it was understandable. Like they were stressed. We were stressed. It's just, you should never hang out. You should hang out with your parents, of course, but do what we're doing now, which is like, we're in a villa. They've got their own room. We've got our own room. It's really great to bond, but you're not in someone else's space. Cause my husband always says after a few days, like fish starts to smell, right? Like at some point it's great for a couple of days and then it just isn't. And I think, yes, I think back to your, what you're going through, I think what it gets messy is when you're in this space right now, which is difficult, and you don't have to talk about anyone else cause that's not fair, but maybe show the part of you that is, you ask your family, just be like, you know, maybe I could do a content post about like, do you, have you guys stayed with your parents? What do you guys think? Is it, you know, maybe because there's so many people who struggle with that and probably would look at that and go, oh my goodness, I so relate to the, how hard it is to be with your parents, or going, you know, maybe would it even be something about going back to your childhood home. What does that feel like? The trauma that I'm part of your content team now. Can you tell?
You're hired.
Thanks. But like, maybe it gets messy when it's like, everyone just thinks it's all perfect when it isn't, because I think that's where the connection of what, why people follow us is like, they want to feel like they get it too. And they're along for that journey.
I think one of the hard parts for me as a creator is also when I'm in it, when I'm in the thick of the stress and the struggle. And, you know, I every Monday night, so just earlier tonight, I have a call with my therapist once a week. And I also have a handful of really close friends that I'll just catch up with and kind of dump everything that I'm thinking on them. So any of the stress and struggle that I've been going through, I've actually been talking about it a lot over the past few days. And I think one of the hard parts for me is when I'm living in it and I'm still processing it, it's hard for me to turn it into content. It's hard for me to just post about it when I don't have a solution, or a not that I need a solution, but when I, when I haven't even figured out how I'm dealing with it, it's hard to just create a post that potentially could incriminate others without putting some sort of a button on it. And I guess you're right. Like that is, it's unfortunate. That's the kind of stuff that other people need to hear and helps them. And I, as much as I want to help other people, I actually found myself the other day, I was making a YouTube vlog and I recorded a clip. I was just in such a big fight with someone in my family, like in a, I actually don't even think this family member knew we were in a fight. I was just really mad. And I was making this video where I was like complaining, and then I actually had to say in the video, I know all my family and all my friends watch this vlog. So if you're watching this vlog and you think I was mad at you last week, I probably was. And it's like to the point where it's almost like a, you know, I'm not the Kardashians, but sometimes I'm like, am I a Kardashian? Like I have to post what's happening in real time and everyone in my life is watching it, and there's no private moment of personal angst.
You know, it's funny. I've actually put the kibosh on my parents for listening to our podcast.
I'm like, there's so much to share.
Yes. I feel like I've shared so much more than they know. And like, what they would be comfortable with, honestly, like, especially as it relates to like sex and things like that, you know, So I kind of put the kibosh on them. Now, whether they've not, you know, done it or not, I guess I'll never know. But I did kind of at the beginning be like, okay, you definitely cannot listen to this unless it's an episode that I send you where I'm like, you've got to listen to this, you know,
right,
things like that. But also to your other point about not knowing the solution when you post something, I find, and this has happened to me a few times, where I will post something that I don't know the answer to. And the our audiences are so smart. They kind of
right. They help.
Give
they
me
help.
The solution. They help so much, you know, and I yes. so appreciate that from them, because if I'm struggling with something or like in a conundrum and I just don't have direction or like a solution, I will put it out there. And they are so brilliant. I mean, the audience, you guys are amazing because you really help work through a lot of things. I mean, you also find
the community. Yeah. Even if they don't have the solution or good ideas, I think even just hearing someone say, or, you know, hundreds mm-hmm. of people say, mm-hmm. I have the same problem. This happens to me too. You know, mm-hmm. we understand. That is actually a little bit healing and cathartic.
Mm-hmm. It's clarity. Hear. They give you clarity, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever yep. get over, as I get older, and I'm older than you, obviously, like a bit older.
How old are you? Do you mind if I ask?
How old do I look, Lucy?
24.
Well, yes, that's it.
Absolutely beneath 25.
Okay, amazing. I've not had Botox yet, but there's time. do you ever get over it? Like, and I know when I say over it, I know we have periods of time where I'm just like, oh, I'm frustrated, I'm on my period, I'm just over, like, you know, it's not performing well. But this constant, for me, I'm not gonna put words in your mouth, for me it feels like this obsession with numbers and if something's doing well, and am I, you know, is it worth the time that I'm putting in? And, you know, I don't know how you feel about this year, but last year was amazing for brand deals. I worked with a lot of brands and things have slowed down immensely this year. I don't know if they have for you, but a lot of my content creative friends have said that too. So when you're not really making the money for the work and the time, well, I mean, you are, but you're not making what you're kind of used to in the previous years, you're like, it's exotic. I'm in Bali and everything I'm doing is thinking about what content. Because why be in Bali if you're not creating content? Because this is the place to do it. You know what I mean? It's like, and then even Christmas and New Year, it's not like you can take that off because you have to post on Christmas because you got to, you know, and you have to be thankful on, you know, Thanksgiving. You don't have to make a post about that. So it's kind of this never ending stress about, for me, about achieving and getting to the right people. And I don't know how you feel. Like, do you even care, like, what your numbers do? Do you even care what does well or doesn't? Or do you just have people who kind of do that for you so you're not so on the button of it and thinking about it all the time?
I guess to immediately make you feel better, I would like to tell you that you've kind of taken the words right out of my mouth from a call that I had earlier today with a really close friend of mine who is a content creator as well. And almost all the same stuff you just said about it being a slower year than last year. I was actually saying that to her in a positive way because of the fact that right now we're moving houses and I have so much house content that I want to / need to create for some brands that I've worked with in the gifting sense of furniture. And so I have all this content to create for gifted brands and thankfully don't have a lot of paid partnerships going on the side with other brands. So I'm not swamped and I actually have the time to produce that. So that was a little bit of a positive, but the overarching sentiment was that it was a slower year and that the income at this point in the year is lower than where it was last year at this point. And so I just want to initially like match your tone on that, in that I definitely do think about these things. And to answer your question about, do I ever get that feeling of, you know, what am I doing? Do I want to do this? It's such a hike. It's just such a constant struggle. I would say I feel that way cyclically once a month. And it's for me, it's not like when I'm on my period, that's when I feel it. It's actually, I can't really identify the exact phase of my cycle that it happens in, but there is a point every month that I feel incredibly high from a work standpoint where I just feel, regardless of the numbers and the stats, I just feel good about what I'm doing. And then there's always a point in every month where I think, should I just become like an astronaut, or I don't know, should I just like start a farm or do something completely different?
The astronaut was what you thought. It was like, I'll just be an astronaut, not like, can I write a book?
Well, I'm obsessed with space. I really love space, and I've always thought that'd be really cool. But I think I've kind of missed the astronaut boat. But I do think frequently, like, was there another job that I would enjoy? I think one thing I love about this job in general is that whatever I decide I want to do, if, for example, I decided I wanted to go to space, or if I decided I wanted to become a farmer, I feel like I have the platform now that I could just document my journey of getting to whatever I want to do. And as long as I am documenting it, I still have an income source while I go shoot for the moon. No pun intended. Yeah. Wow,
do it for the gram, baby, and TikTok.
Do it for the gram. But I don't know. Like, that's one thing I like is that if I decide I want to do something else, as long as I'm sharing my journey to getting there, that's work. And it's not like I have to not chase my dream because I'm in an office doing a 9-to-5. And so that's something that I love, but I 100%, I feel all the time, especially in the moments when my content seems, at least from my eyes, to be not performing as well as I'm used to it performing, or especially when I get a negative comment or someone sends me something mean privately. Those are the moments when I just am very highly questioning, what is this job? Why am I subjecting myself to this? You know, do people hate influencers? Like, am I just posting and posting and people are just hate watching what I'm doing? Like, I definitely have thoughts like that. And then on the flip side, I feel extremely supported, and I feel like, wow, there's just so many more people than I could ever fathom sitting there watching, enjoying, and writing nice things. And like, who are these nice people coming to my account? So it's very hot and cold.
Huh. That's interesting. It's kind of all over the place. I think at the end of the day, it's probably more people who positively love you, you know, who want to support you. I mean, the hate watchers don't necessarily hurt in terms of numbers, but it is a bummer. If you want to contribute to the numbers, keep it going. But like, when they actually take the time to reach out and just say something nasty, it's just, it's on them. You know, it's on them. It's like, that's their problem. They're not happy with themselves. And, you know, I do understand that there are definitely days when it gets to me more than in other days. So I bet it is like cyclical with our cycles. Don't you think, Tamin? Because, you know,
well, there is, I know everything.
You're like Miss Period around here.
There's some truth to that about the whole like feeling more creative at times and feeling.
Right. Oh my God. Of course. Around 7. So me, I really struggle day 7 to 10, which is just pre-ovulation. Because I'm estrogen dominant. And so your estrogen levels actually raise between days 7 and 10. And then your progesterone and your testosterone raises around ovulation. So around ovulation, you're more aggressive in general, but that can be really good for work and creativity. Like you want to go out, you want to see people, you want to have meetings, you want to have sex. Like there's something really magnetic about the ovulation phase, but the days before it for me is when like I just don't want to be around. Like it's horrible. Like I 7 to 10, I just want to curl up in a hole. And it's interesting because I don't feel that way before my period. I feel sensitive and I'll feel like short tempered and I'll cry, but I don't feel like hopeless that I do around days 7 to 10. And normally people, when they know their cycle, they'll be like, oh, it's always that period. If you're estrogen dominant, maybe some people don't feel that way, but that's normally when I want to give up and I'm looking at your stuff going, oh, she's got it all together.
You know, here's, it's funny to me. I mean, here's my final takeaway on that, because as you guys mentioned, I've been in the content creation space for a long time. And when I first started making videos, you know, my first time I was doing this was in college. I went to Johns Hopkins University and I was making videos for the admissions office as my campus job. And then when I graduated a couple years later, I got my job at Refinery 29 and I started working as their YouTube host and producer. And when I went into that job, I had such a pre-knowledge because I had been on YouTube in college and I had been on the Today Show in college, and I had already been like privy to the type of comments that were coming my way if I were to do this job. And I remember questioning, do I want to go down this route? Is this a good idea? And I had this reckoning moment with myself where I said, I could opt out of this job right now because that would be a lot more comfortable for my life in a lot of ways, and it'd be safer and I wouldn't have to deal with this and the negative comments. But I decided that it was actually going to make me happier to live a life where I got to do the thing I liked doing, even if it meant having the negative side that came with it. And I decided I would be more upset if I didn't get negative comments, but also didn't get to do the job that I wanted to do. So that's sort of what I agreed upon with myself going into this. The next thing on this note is I do have to say having a very stable and solid marriage and family life and at-home life makes whatever's happening on the internet just 10,000 times less important to me because, you know, I know who I have a very rock solid relationship, and no matter what is happening, like that is the most important thing in my life. And I can imagine that some people that just don't have that type of internal or, you know, localized feeling of security, the stuff going on and the chatter in the internet world can be a lot louder and more detrimental. So I think those two thoughts keep coming to my mind. And I think the one thing I always remind myself of in this space is, as you guys are saying about me and as I feel about you, everyone just thinks that everyone else is immune to this way that we're feeling. And the truth is no one is immune. So I think the moment you can really zoom out from yourself and realize that we're all just going through this experience together and everyone's having the same experience, like you're not unique. You're not the only one that feels down or bad. It's those are the moments when you can say, all right, we're all feeling this way. So now what? Do we just sit here and keep pretending we're the only ones, or do we just, you know,
keep creating,
keep moving, keep going, and just keep showing up? Because there, if as long as you're still enjoying it, you know, if it's not helping your mental health, I wouldn't advise that. But if it's still something you enjoy, it's about really letting yourself focus on why you're doing it and enjoying what you're doing and just letting yourself do it and enjoy it and tune out the noise, because it's, you got to remind yourself the noise is just a part of the human experience.
Right.
Yeah. And you're inherently building a community at the same time. So it's, people are going to gravitate to that, because at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like our audiences just want to feel part of something, you know, and like that we care about them. Right. And they're seen, and that we care about them, and that, you know, we're doing this for them. You know, we're really building this community for them. And of course it helps us too, but you know, it's, we enjoy this. And I think they can feel that, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's when everything shifts. I think there was a time, and I'm going to be honest about it, that it was for me. Mm-hmm. Like it was totally for me. It was about, you know, let me share all the good things that are happening. Cause also you're young and it's so cool to have, you know, I was really bullied as a kid. I didn't have the best sense of self-worth, and I'm with my therapist. I'm actively working on that. So like, yeah, it felt good. I was a child actor. Like my dopamine levels really raised when people were like, you're great, whatever. So a lot of the content that I was creating a long time ago, 10 years ago, was kind of like, well, you know, it was more self-serving. Not that I knew it at the time, but it wasn't really for the greater good until I had a kid 9 years ago. And I was like, oh my God, I am so lost. I am so confused. I am so scared. Is anyone else, can anyone else hear me? And can anyone else feel what I'm feeling? And that sort of opened up the whole world of content. I've never set out to be a content creator or an influencer. Not that I even know if I am, but I'm definitely a content creator. But it just became, it sort of started from, like you said, like it just was started for me for the need to connect to other people. But, you know, having you on the podcast, like I think a lot of people want to know, because they like this world, and a lot of them want to get into it. So you've built a brand from, yes, I think you said like you had a leg in because you already knew how to create videos. You had sort of, you already knew how to do content creation before you became your own content creator. But do you, and then you now sell sort of course, not sell, but you give information on courses mm-hmm. on how to build your own brand. So my question is like, how do you build, like, what are the key strategies that you feel that worked for you mm-hmm. to building the brand that you have now? And a big one for me is like, do you need a team to build the brand that you, where you want to get in your life when it comes to like really exponentially like growing? Can you do that by yourself or do you need a team to do it?
Okay, great questions. I think first and foremost with my journey from, you know, the Refinery 29 times to now, which kind of like you, I mean, I wasn't an actress, but I definitely considered myself to be a host in mm-hmm. that I was not, granted back then Instagram influencers weren't really a thing yet, but I was not setting out to be a content creator on Instagram and to work with brands. I was setting out to create entertaining and educational videos that I was producing and hosting at Refinery 29 as the lifestyle host. And that sort of opened the door to people being interested in me and my own life, which then led to me saying, okay, I guess the content that's performing best is the vlogs and the behind the scenes of what's, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm going, which was not how it started. It really definitely started in the educational route. And if anyone's interested, like those videos still live on Refinery 29's YouTube channel. I hosted a handful of YouTube series for them. One was called Try Living with Lucy, where I tried 5-day challenges. And one was called Lucy for Hire, where I tried different people's jobs. And I still do a version of that on my own YouTube channel today. But those types of produced videos were always my bread and butter, where I was the host and I was writing the scripts and the voiceovers. And when I entered into the content creation world where I was working with brands, that was just sort of the natural next progression, because my audience was sort of like demanding more personal content out of me. And they were showing more interest when I would show my twin sister or my boyfriend at the time. And that's how I kind of got into showing those things. I will say that building your own brand on social media and then running your own social media accounts, especially in these days where there's like 10 platforms you need to create content on, mm-hmm. it is not a one person job. Like that, I do not know how I would be able to do the job I do if I was the only person working on my team. So at this point in time, I have a pretty big team functioning around me, and they're not all touching my editorial content that I'm creating on my Instagram or my TikTok. They're not creating those day-to-day pieces of content for me, but they are doing a lot of the other background stuff. So I'm signed with United Talent Agency in LA. And so I have a team at UTA that's responsible for all my brand partnerships. Mm-hmm. And that is the team that basically, if you go to my Instagram and you press send email, it goes to them. I don't even get that email. Mm-hmm. So they manage that incoming inbox, and they also are, I'm just on their roster of talent. So they're also always pitching me out to brand partnerships. And I do, that took such a big load off my plate when I signed with them, because before that I was just pitching myself in the marketplace and negotiating on my own behalf via email with brands. And I find it's just, you can just get way higher brand rates when mm-hmm. you have an agent or a manager negotiating for you. So mm-hmm. that's something that they do. I also have a manager who's separate from that, who kind of is just a more of a point person for me one-on-one to make sure that the team at the talent agency is following through with all the things that I'm asking of them. She sort of jumps in and helps with brand deals. She's also like a full service agent to her other clients. So she also happens to bring in brand deals too. So I have these like two sources of brand deals flowing in through those two parties. Then aside from that, I have a virtual assistant who I've hired, who basically helps with like a lot of the back end of content stuff. So if I made a YouTube video, all I'm doing is making and producing and getting the video together. Mm-hmm. And then she is writing the YouTube description box, helping me come up with the keywords, putting any tags, creating all the Instagram story shareable assets for me to promote the YouTube video, creating a cut down for me to put on TikTok or Instagram, basically taking one thing I'm creating and blowing it out. And then with all my other content, if I just on a whim make a TikTok or on a whim post an Instagram reel,
she's sort of collecting all of that content and creating a hub spreadsheet of where it lives so that she can know where to repurpose it across all my platforms. So if I just one day randomly posted a TikTok, that will also get uploaded to YouTube Shorts and will be turned into a Pinterest shareable and will go onto my Facebook, and basically just getting the most shelf life out of the stuff I'm doing, which would take so much time for me to create all those cut downs myself. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the day-to-day team of how I'm operating.
Mm-hmm. So there's no one who's like sitting with you, because I know that this can sometimes, you know, we've been approached, people are like, well, we can do, you know, you pay X amount of money, because I know that agents and mm-hmm. I have that too, agents and brand managers, and Roxy does too. Mm-hmm. They take a percentage, right? For people who are listening, they take 10 to 15%, whatever you make X, let's just round it up, $10,000, whatever. They take, you know, they take 1,000, the other one takes 1,000, or it could be more than that, or 1,500, like up to about 30%. And then your virtual assistant, you pay your, you know, you do that separately. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a team where, you know, there are teams that are content creation teams that sit down mm-hmm. with you and you pay exorbitant amount, like $10,000 a month. And they sit down with you and they tell you like who your brand is, what you need to create, songs that are trending. So you don't, so that all just comes from you. That's not something that you outsource.
Yeah. I mean, I have had my virtual assistant sometimes pull some of those trending sounds and give me ideas of content. Sometimes at different times I've had her pull that for me. And then in recent days I've told her she could stop doing that because it really ends up being a waste of her time, because I don't end up creating the content that anyone tells me, here's what to do. I like almost all of my best performing content is random, on a whim, a random idea that popped into my head right before bed that I shot up to write down. And, you know, it's really hard to, I don't even work off of a content schedule anymore where I pre-schedule out what I want to produce, or where I pre-schedule what I'm posting, because I used to do that with Instagram where I would try to like create a calendar for the month in advance of what was going up every day. And that was kind of back in the time when I posted every single day and I felt like that was important. And now you'll see on my account, I'm posting maybe anywhere from 2 to 5 times in a week, kind of depending on what phase of my cycle I'm in, how inspired I'm feeling, what ideas are floating through my brain in that moment. And it really is more of the moment. And I've thought about having it's a little less of what you described, but I've thought about maybe hiring a, specifically for my YouTube, a producer whose job it is to basically produce all the stuff, basically the way I did at Refinery 29, but like have them make me the talent and the host in it, but just tell me what to do and basically come up with the video ideas and tell me what to do. But it just doesn't work, because I need to hire myself to do that. And I'm always looking for another version of myself to do these jobs, which is why that's like my skill is doing that.
I hire an editor and then I edit it. I would love to hire an editor. I'm like, my life would be so much easier. Yeah. And then I'm just like, oh, I hate the way they edit it.
Well, that's one thing with video editing, like that's been so hard for me to let go of, because it takes up, video editing takes up my whole day. It gives me the biggest migraine. Mm-hmm. It just ruins everything about my eyes and my life.
Yeah.
But I love it so much. Mm. And when I shoot a video that I'm really excited about, the way I will get sucked into editing is like, that is a flow state. That is what they mean. You're lost in editing. The flow. And so I end up, I don't know, some videos I have an easier time. The videos that aren't so personal to me, for example, the videos where I go try someone's job for a day and I'm doing more of like a formatted show, I can give that to an editor and give them notes, no problem. But if it's a day in the life vlog, they will not understand my vision for how these pieces are coming together with all the random shots I've shot. And I have an idea for where I want to make a montage and what type of music I want to use and which clips I want to use. And it's pointless to send it off.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the point about the schedules, like the Instagram schedules, because that was a thing for so long. It's like you have to post every single day and like at the same time every day or whatever time. And like, there was so much pressure and stress around it for me. And I think there really has been a trend of people posting just more when it feels right versus mm-hmm. like on a set schedule, you know? And I do feel like I fall into that category now more too, where it's like, I kind of post like more when it feels right. But it mm-hmm. is stressful to kind of figure that out and see, you know, when you should or shouldn't be posting. But also too, with the trends, you know, like the trending songs and like whatever the trends are, do you guys find yourselves following those because, you know, perhaps like the numbers will be high, or like, would you follow those trends to create content, or are you more just like whatever feels authentic to you at the time? Or do you feel pressure?
Sometimes
to follow
the trends, sometimes the trends, especially on TikTok, they mm-hmm. sometimes don't do what you think they're going to do when, like, you know, everyone's posting surrounding like a song or a bit that everyone's mm-hmm. doing. Those actually are my least performing videos, even though it's mm-hmm. part of that trend. Hmm. That's just what I feel. But I'm a different type of person. I think the problem is because I don't know if I'm a different type of person. You guys can say if you are, but like, it really matters. Success is like one of the number I have to have. If I don't have, and it's probably an ADHD thing, if I don't have that dopamine rush mm-hmm. from the viral video at least once a month, then I don't feel well. Like, I need, and that's why I don't know if this world is good for me, because my videos can go to, like, you know, it's happened to you, Lucy. Like, they can go up to 25 million or they can go to like 70,000. And I know people listening go, you know, but for our business, that's such a massive jump. And if you're producing videos that are always in the millions, you're getting paid more money because people know that your views are higher, right? And you get to more people, it's more conversion, which means when you're selling a product, people buy more. So those numbers really matter. And I get so bogged down by the numbers that I think it stops the flow mm-hmm. and it stops me creating, because I'm so worried about, like, what if I had 5 videos that were all under 100,000 back to back? You know, I count them. This is how crazy I am. I'm like, okay, there was 5, then there was 1 million, then there was 6, then there was 1 million. Okay, so we're okay. And it's my own way of feeling like I'm in control when I'm on something that's uncontrollable.
Yes. And it is uncontrollable. And it's only something that other content creators really understand, especially, you know, when you throw out the numbers like that, people are probably like, oh, fuck, my videos had 1 view. And so I hear everyone, but it really, I think when it's tied so closely to your identity and also your income, mm-hmm. that's when you start to feel the pressure mm-hmm. and stress around it. I think what I try to remind myself of is that just historically, in the history of myself doing this business, which has been my whole career, it always goes up and down. Pendulum. It always comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's obviously going to be a time in my life when I hit a peak that's like, okay, I'm never going to get a video that reaches that amount again. But I just feel like I have to keep the lens on of, I haven't gotten to that peak yet. Like, no matter where I am, no matter mm-hmm. how high a video has mm-hmm. gone, I know it's going to go way lower and there's going to be these major valleys. And then I mm-hmm. know there's going to be mm-hmm. high mountains coming. And as long as it sounds so cliche, but like, as long as I just really accept that I'm here for that ride and not mm-hmm. for the trip to the top of the mountain. Cause the truth is, I don't really want to be at the top of the mountain. Like, I don't know about you. It's a weird dichotomy of like, you want to do so well, but like, I don't want to be so in the public eye. I don't need that many people to be mm-hmm. around. Sometimes when I post something that's going viral, like, it honestly doesn't feel that great as it's going viral.
Right.
Because you're like, you'd think it would feel great, but you're like, wait, I don't need this. Like, I'm very happy with putting out my content and letting it, quote, middle of the road perform, where it's mm-hmm. just the people that follow me that signed up to see it are seeing it and are enjoying it and looking at it and liking it and going on with their day. And it's like, do I need or want to be I don't even want it to be that big.
So with the fame portion of it, I mean, are you comfortable with getting more famous? Or more well-known, I should say, like, you know, on social media, like, because that is part of the job too, right? So it's like, the more you're out there, the more people know who you are. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel about getting more famous?
Roxy and I have no problem with this podcast getting very famous.
We love it.
Like, if this goes viral,
bring it on.
We are okay.
Listen, I want it to, it's like anything else. You want all the good parts of it. You don't want the bad parts of it. And at least, I mean, I'm sure you can understand as a parent, I fear, I mean, especially with my husband being just so the opposite of me from a public standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think I could say with conviction that I don't ever want to get to a standpoint where like he feels like there is a person taking pictures through our window. Mm-hmm. We do yeah. not want to be at that level. And yeah. even with a kid and more going to have more kids in the future, like I don't want to feel like my safety and their safety is at risk throughout a day just because mm-hmm. I'm that mm-hmm. well known. Like I kind of like just having the platform and having the people that came because they like what I'm making, but it's just not so, yeah. so global that it's mm-hmm. uncontrollable. And at some point, yeah. art, like stars reach a point where it's like, you have mm-hmm. reached the point of no return and your life is actually way worse than my life right now because
yeah,
you just cannot be, you cannot have a normal mm-hmm. life. And as much as I love getting stopped in the street and someone saying hi and that feels really great, I also love just going out and yeah. being a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a side note, what do you shoot on? Do you shoot on your phone?
I mostly shoot on your
I just bought the G7 because every influence told me to buy it. Yeah, I got influenced.
So the G7X was like my first vlog camera and it's very light.
Is it Canon crap? G7X? I'm like, I don't know. Should I get something else? Did I make a bad purchase?
No, it's not crap. It's a good starter video camera because it's a point and shoot camera where you don't have to snap off a lens, but it does have a really nice shallow depth of field. So it gives you that nice like blur effect behind mm-hmm. you without you mm-hmm. needing to do anything fancy. And it also has a really good auto adjust with lighting. So you can like walk into a dark room and then a light room and it just fixes it for you. Mm-hmm. So it is a good camera. My brain is like still thinks of it as my like first vlog camera, and I don't think I've touched mine in years. I basically shoot everything on either my iPhone 14 Pro Max, which I just feel like mm-hmm. especially with like really sunny light, I feel like that gets me the best, prettiest view. Mm-hmm. Or I also recently bought a Fujifilm X-T5 and mm-hmm. I put on a 30 something millimeter lens mm-hmm. and it's great. And it's like wide enough to hold and vlog, but also close mm-hmm. enough that I don't know. It's not super wide that it's like a fisheye lens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it gives really good quality. And it just has like a mounted microphone on top. So I can like walk around with it like a vlog camera or put it on a tripod mm-hmm. and it gets really beautiful. People think it looks like cinema footage, but it's a pretty light camera.
And then what do you edit in? Is it CapCut or do you do, I'm still doing InShot. Which
no,
I love.
I actually
why. I just love where I'm
because
movie.
I came from the world of like editing YouTube videos and like long form things. I've always edited on the computer. So I airdrop all my iPhone footage to my computer and then I open Adobe Premiere, which is like iMovie on steroids. It's like it would look really complicated to someone just opening it for the first time, but I don't use all the features and functionalities. I mostly just use the timeline and I cut the footage around and I edit everything on there. And if I want to do like a trending video, I will screen record the sound and then shoot the video with my phone, not in TikTok, and then like send everything to my computer and edit it precisely to the sound.
The technicalities, there's a lot. There's a lot in this job. It's not,
yeah.
You don't just,
I mean,
like,
I find CapCuts, I find that I'm like confused with how CapCut works. When everyone's using these templates, I open it and I'm like, this isn't, how do I get the age filter in here? Like, I guess people are using another app to get certain things and then putting it in CapCut.
I just use it. I've used InShot forever, like even for big brand deals, because InShot, I don't know what, if even anyone knows about that, but it just works for my brain. Like it's very, you know,
yeah,
so
I think most people
just, I can also do it on my phone. You know,
it's a good iPhone, or I guess you can use it on an Android, but it's a good editing tool. without using the computer.
Do you see, kids? This job is harder than it looks. Okay.
I know. You're a writer, you're an editor.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
It can be very fashion fulfilling. Design. It can be very fulfilling, but there is like a hard, you know, it's a job. It's a job. It's a business. So,
yes, it's not for the faint of heart.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Lucy, we're so happy to have you. And yeah. Next time we're coming to New York, we're going to look through your window and take pictures. If that's okay.
Does that work for you? We'll edit it.
That sounds great. Just we'll send it to my husband like for thing. Approval. And then you can send it to TMZ.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then you'll be on the TMZ tour bus route. There you go.
Exactly. Thank you both so much. Creating. It was great. I'm happy to be here. And I really want to make sure you guys keep in mind that I'm a human, you know, I'm so honored that you, I mean, I guess it's a weird word. It makes me laugh that you guys view it that way, but that's how I'm viewing you guys. So it's like, we all just have to keep remembering that everyone
no one's
views
viewing
us
that
way.
We've got our shit together. No one's viewing that. They listen to our podcast because they feel better about their lives.
Exactly. Hey, and that's how we serve them. That's how we serve them. Feel good about yourself.
I know. We serve them to be like, come listen to the shit show.
Here's
and
our
feel better.
Here's our hairy salmon plate. Enjoy your life.
Yeah, we're stranded on Delta with a pack of peanuts and Tamman's dryer's been moved to where it closes and
come on down.
We can do this because that's Roxy's from Dallas, my husband's from the area too, so we're allowed to do that.
I can do country all day long. I'm from Texas
all night. Well, Lucy, where can people find you if they're new to you and what you do?
On Instagram and TikTok, it's Lucy B. Fink, LucieBFink. And then on YouTube, it's, you know, if you just type in my name, you'll probably find my YouTube channel there. And then my website, which is my favorite part of my platform, which like isn't where I post anything, but is just my hub, is LucyFink.com. And I'm obsessed with the design and the branding on there. And that is where you can go if you want to figure out how you can work with me one-on-one, because as you mentioned, I offer courses. There's master classes you can download that are like pre-recorded workshops for how to build your own brand and create content. I do one-on-one coaching and consulting with people. And I've also, you can find like physical and digital offerings that I've posted there recently, like a motherhood super guide that I put together and some sweatshirts that I'm selling and stuff like that.
Well, we are your next clients, right, Rox?
Yes.
We will be signing up for that.
Sign us up. We'll be there.
We'll see you there every Monday. I won't miss
it. I can't get rid of them.
We love it.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We are Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook and Women on Top Official on TikTok. And that was my husband sneezing in the background. Hope you didn't hear it.
Thanks, David. At least it's not my kid farting. And I am Tamman Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are. Now, all you have to do, Lucy, is say Women on Top. And we're going to blend it in. So it's going to sound amazing. Yeah, so you ready?
I'm on it. Can we harmonize?
Yes.
Give me a bounce, CC.
Women.
On top.